The ushers have a handout for those of you that did not get an envelope when you came in. If you didn't get an envelope, would you raise your hand and the ushers will come around and they'll get you an Advance America envelope. Miss Vance down here, Steve, Bruce, have some. And while they're passing those out to you, would you go ahead and open your Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It is indeed an honor to be back. Vicki and I travel so much. We were out at another church this morning where I was speaking in a Sunday school, then part of the worship service. But it's good to be back in our home church. It's good to be here when Pastor Arrowood is preaching, and so glad that Tina and Steve and Julie and Tony and Jennifer and part of the rest of the Jones family is able to be here tonight. It's good to see my friends here. It's good to see all of you that support us with your prayers, your finances. This church is special to Advance America. Advance America, as Pastor Arrowood said, was started right here over there on 34th Street in the basement of Eagledale Baptist Church, November the 22nd, 1980. How many of you were part of Eagledale Baptist Church November 22nd, 1980? Would you raise your hand? And most of you have come after that point in time. Now, I want to thank you for your prayers, for your support. Thank you for those of you that have come to rallies down at the State House that we've had. Now, these are indeed troublesome times for our state and our nation. They're dark days. Part of the reason why they're dark times and dark days is because Christians have pulled back from being involved in the culture. I appreciate this church because this church preaches the truth about the three institutions that God created: home, church, and government. And Pastor Arrowood preaches that Christians have a duty and responsibility to be all that they ought to be in the home for the Lord Jesus Christ, and everybody agrees with that. But then Pastor Arrowood also preaches that every Christian has a duty and responsibility to be all that we ought to be in the local church. It isn't just the pastor's job to help this church move forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. But Pastor Arrowood is unique in that he also preaches that Christians have a duty and responsibility in government. Just because some things may go wrong in your family, you don't just give up on your family, or because something may not go exactly the way you want it to go in the local church, or they switch Sunday school classes or something, you don't just give up on the church. But Christians, historically in America, have pulled back from being involved in the government. And maybe because they think, well, it doesn't make any difference, or there's a separation of church and state, which is not found in the Bible. And so I appreciate the fact that Pastor Arrowood not only is my pastor, but Pastor Arrowood also is on the board of Advance America, and he's probably my number one cheerleader around the state as he has the opportunity to talk to other people. And again, I thank you for your time, for your volunteer, for your friendship, for your prayers, and for your support for Advance America over the years. But we've won some great battles in the past. We've been able to keep churches free here in the state of Indiana. Indiana is probably the freest state for churches and their ministries anywhere in the country. But as you're going to hear in just a little while, we had another battle this year, as a matter of fact, just about a week ago, to maintain that freedom. One of our founding fathers said, each generation must re-win its liberty. We can't exist on the battles that have been fought in the past to keep us free. We've always got to be looking forward. And when Congress meets, or when the legislature meets, you've heard this, Will Rogers said it, every day Congress is in session, freedom is in danger. And so what Congress ought to do lots of times is say the Pledge of Allegiance, have a prayer, and then go home. That's what the legislature ought to do lots of times as well. But in these dark days, and as you look out there and you say, what are we going to do? I mean, the economy isn't going the way it ought to go, and the president made another statement about promoting homosexuality in the military and things like that. Well, the last thing that Christians need to do is withdraw and retreat back and not get involved. This is one of the most important election years in our lifetime. The people that are elected here in Indiana this year, you'll be voting for a U.S. senator that may make a whole lot of difference out in Washington, D.C., 9 congressmen that will make a difference in Washington, D.C., all 100 representatives that will make a difference here in our state, and half of the state Senate, as well as some of the statewide offices. And yet, when people go to vote this November, there may not be 30% of the people even vote. And of that 30%, there may not be 80% that really know the truth about where the candidates stand and what they really believe. So I want to encourage you, because you're in this church, you get our emails. How many of you have email? Would you raise your hand? Wonderful. Do you know that when you get an email from me, if you take the 2 minutes to email your senator or your representative, that is an avalanche down there? Because it may not take 10 to 15 emails. It doesn't. 10 to 15 emails on most issues to be an avalanche down there. So as we look at the battles that we're going to talk about tonight, and as we look forward here in America and Indiana, and I want you to always be thinking, there is something that I can do. There is something that I can do. There is something that I can do. And you go out of here with concrete answers saying, I know what I can do. I'm going to go ahead and do it. It's kind of like when the pastor preaches about soul winning, like you did this morning. And you go out here and you say, well, I heard what the pastor said. Now I'm going to go do what the pastor said. And you'll make a difference. What I'm going to talk to you about in government, I'm going to give you concrete things that you can do. Look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. That talks about Christians too. As we look at what we can do to make a difference right here in our culture, in our government. If my people, not the news media, not the politically correct crowd, not most of the people that don't. Do you know why we have problems in Washington and in Indiana? Because people, when they look at what's going on and decisions to be made down the State House and the White House and in Congress, they have a different worldview than we have. When they look at the issue of abortion, last week, a little over a week ago, January 23rd, was the anniversary, the 37th anniversary of the abortion decision that legalized the murder of unborn children. Since that decision in 1973, over 50 million babies have been murdered in America legally. So when I go down to the State House and we talk about stopping abortion or stopping the funding of abortion, you know what? People will disagree with me down there because they see this world through different eyes. We see it through the Word of God. The Bible says abortion is wrong, abortion is murder. That settles it. Not down there at the State House. Down there at the State House, they don't see it like that. Lots of times it's who makes the most noise is the way they're going to make a decision. So Christians need to make noise down there by letting them know what we believe and what we want them to do. That's what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, and here's the formula, shall humble themselves, because we really do need God. This is too big for Eric Miller, the staff of Advance America, Pastor Erwin, the board of Advance America, even this one church. This battle of turning America and turning Indiana back to righteousness is bigger than all of us. And so one of the first things we need to do is humble ourselves and say, Dear Lord, it's bigger than me. Lord, I know you want me to fight. I know you want me to do what's right, my family, my church, and the country. But Lord, it's too big for me. I need your help. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And pray and seek my face. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need nothing between you and me, Lord, so that I can have fellowship with you, so I can get my prayers answered. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. All of us sin. That's why I'm glad for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. So you're going to pray. You're going to humble yourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from your wicked ways. And what is the promise of the Lord? Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, but not just individual sins. I'll hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. America needs healing. We need to ask the Lord to forgive us for the sin of abortion. Ask the Lord to forgive us for the sin of homosexuality. Ask the Lord to forgive us for our unconcern about the lost and about families that are disintegrating. Folks, there are people out there that are lost and headed for hell that need Christians, whether it's down at the State House or whether it's in your neighborhood or on your job, to be a witness for Jesus Christ because they're lost and headed for hell. They're blinded, and they don't know that. But we've got the answer. And in government, without apology, we need to take a stand for righteousness. Will everybody agree with this? It's immaterial, because the battle's the Lord's. But it's up to us to take a stand. And down there at the government, Justin prayed. And Justin, you talk about maybe some of them maybe are afraid of me. I thought you might say some of them don't like me. And there's a lot of them that don't like me down there. But my job is not to be popular, right, Jim Titus, down there at the State House. My job is to take a stand for righteousness. Yes, with a broken heart and a compassionate heart, but not compromise the truth of the Bible. And that's what we're going to be talking about, is what does the Bible say about these issues? Open up the envelope that you have. I'm grateful that tonight Jim Waters also goes out and speaks in churches, as I do. And I'm grateful that Jim is here. The staff of Advance America, again, is more than just Eric Miller. Jim has been with me since the beginning. Not only does Jim do a great job as our Sunday school teacher. Not only does Jim do a great job in this church, but he also does a wonderful job with Advance America. He helps me with the legislature. He helps me with individual legislators, helps me on these issues as we talk about the stand that we ought to take. But he also is one of the best personal injury lawyers anywhere in the state. And one thing that we've got out there for you tonight is something that you can pick up. Everybody ought to have this. It's a glove compartment accident guide. Please pick that up and put it in your vehicle. It has some tips for you in the event you're involved in an accident. And just as we've done for over 29 years, if you have a legal need, there's no charge for that initial phone call. Please pick up the phone and call. A lot of people think, well, Eric's too busy with Advance America. Jim and Eric and the rest of us down there are not too busy to help somebody when they have a legal need that happens in their family. So please do give us a call. Now, as I talk about these issues, I want you to remember this. The opposition that we have to our future, our families, our churches, and our freedoms is dedicated, well-funded, organized, and they don't quit. And the opposition down there at the State House, you know, when Jim and I walk over to the State House to talk about these issues, and I testify before committees, I help write bills, I'll be over there tomorrow dealing right away with three legislators on the issue of marriage I'm going to talk to you about in just a minute. When I go over there, and if Jim is with me, we are outnumbered, just on the number of people there lobbying for gambling, 100 lobbyists to 2. When you add to that those who are lobbying for abortion, those that are lobbying for homosexual rights, those that are lobbying to help shut down Christian schools and to harm churches, there may be 120 or 130 registered lobbyists against Jim and me. You say, that's not really fair. Yeah, but he used to carry a gun. But anyway, but is this being recorded, brother? Can you take that out? Anyway, but you say, how can you win then? The battle's the Lord's, folks. There was an old-time evangelist that said, one plus God is a majority. When Jim and I walk over there, it isn't just Jim and I. Besides, not only is the Lord with us, but you are too, because you're praying for us. You're making those phone calls. Do you know how the legislature tells where Jim and I are on Sunday? By the amount of phone calls they get on Monday. They track us around the state. They have a map. And they know where we've been, because wherever we go, people get energized and they start making phone calls and they start sending emails. They go, that's where Jim Waters was. That's where Eric Miller was. There's a third one here. Who was there? And so that's what they do. They know where we are because people respond to the message of getting involved. There is a war that is going on. The children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren are at grave risk. Let me tell you that again. This is a time in America unlike we have ever seen since our founding in 1776. Who would have thought in America that we would have killed 50 million plus unborn babies? Who would have thought in states on the West Coast and the East Coast and out in Iowa there would be homosexual marriages? Who would have thought that Christian schools and church ministries that do nothing but want to help and teach the children about Jesus Christ would be under attack all the time? Who would have thought that? What's happening today, but there is something that we can do about it. Look on your sheet. I want to talk to you about three or four issues real quickly and then talk to you about what you can do to make a difference. Protecting marriage. Here's something everybody can do tonight, even before you go to bed tonight, to help out on SJR 13. There are 30 states that have protected marriage between one man and one woman. I was asked to close the testimony on this bill in the state Senate, in the Senate chamber. And at the conclusion of my comments, they voted after they heard the support, the opposition to this resolution. There are senators down there. It only passed 38 to 10. There were 10 senators that do not believe in protecting marriage between one man and one woman. You have legislators that want to harm the definition of marriage by letting it be two men, two women, or any combination thereof. Folks, the Bible says that marriage is to be between one man and one woman. Not two men, not two women, or any combination of anything else. What would happen to the children out here in Wayne Township that go to the public schools? Not to this Christian school, but to a public school. The children, if this did not pass, and we have homosexual marriages in Indiana, children would be taught under existing law, beginning in kindergarten, that homosexuality is just as normal as a marriage between a mom and a dad. They will be taught beginning at 5 and 6 years old that that's okay. Churches could potentially be sued if they did not permit homosexuals to get married in the church, They could potentially lose their tax exempt status. Let me just stop there for just a minute. If the government ever tells this pastor that if you continue to preach that homosexuality is a sin, this church will lose its tax exempt status, then you know what? The church will lose its tax exempt status because he isn't going to change his preaching. And so I just want to tell you that those who are out there on this issue of marriage, they want to harm children. By the way, there has never been any civilization in the history of mankind. Don't miss this. No civilization in the history of mankind that has continued to exist that has condoned and embraced homosexuality. America is flirting with danger and destruction if we continue to embrace homosexuality. Now, who is the best friend of a homosexual? It's a Bible-believing Christian. Because a Bible-believing Christian will tell them the truth, that it's a sin, that sin sends somebody to hell, that if they don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that they'll die and spend an eternity in hell. The best friend a homosexual has is a Bible-believing Christian that will tell them the truth about their sin. What can you do about this? You can call your state representative or email them tonight and ask them to support SJR 13, the constitutional amendment on marriage. It must pass this year and one of the next 2 years for you to be able to vote in 2012. We need to move on this right away. You know why? Iowa. In Iowa, the state senate out there in 2007 said, you don't need to do anything about marriage because we got it in the state law. And then April of last year, the Iowa Supreme Court ruled 7-0 that same-sex marriages are legal. That isn't Massachusetts. That isn't California. It's Iowa. It's in the Midwest. We can't wait until a judge in Indiana rules that same-sex marriages are legal. We need to be proactive and protect marriage between one man and one woman. Protecting churches from government control, 1036, the next one that you see there. This is the issue that you saw me on TV. You probably heard about it on the radio and read about it in the newspaper. This was a bill that was introduced. We won this battle 30-plus years ago in Indiana. But these battles keep coming back because the opposition doesn't give up. This was a bill that would have said to a child care ministry, we're going to tell you who you can hire and how many children you can watch. You say, well, praise the Lord, we've just got a preschool and a Christian school. We don't have a child care ministry. Folks, any attack on the church is an attack on us. Because if they can attack our church child care ministries at another church down the street, then they can attack our Sunday schools, they can attack a day camp program, they can attack our Christian schools. If the government can tell you, for a church, who you can hire and how many children you can have in that ministry on Monday, then they can tell you how many children you can watch on Sunday. Because if the church is not safe on Monday unless the government controls and licenses it, then it's not safe on Sunday. Fortunately, this bill died because of massive opposition from people all over the state of Indiana. But guess what? Representative Summers, the author of the bill, already said she's going to reintroduce it next year. One of the things she got upset about was a couple of her pastors get our email, and one of her pastors came down to testify against the bill. And she was upset with me because we contacted her church. We'll do it again, too, folks. Anyway, the Bible says be as shrewd as a serpent and innocent as a dove. That means if you can, call their pastor and get them involved. Look at the next one on the right-hand side, Senate Bill 198. Planned Parenthood is the number one provider of abortion in America. Your tax dollars shouldn't go to Planned Parenthood. They are right now. So we tried to stop it this year. Couldn't get it done this year. We'll be back next year because your tax dollars, your hard-earned money, shouldn't go to provide money to any organization that promotes, supports, or performs abortions. Protecting churches from taxation. When you heard me speak last year, I told you about an effort to tax churches in 2008 where they would say that your worship area won't be taxed, but everything else would be. The government has no right to come into a church and say your auditorium is exempt, but everything else ought to be taxed. That's not right. It's not right for the government to come in and say you can have 5 acres, we'll tax everything else. Everything that Cross Point Baptist Church is done for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. The government has no right to tax any part of it. But watch next year. Cities are running out of money. Public schools are running out of money. There will be a tremendous, well, let me read this quote from Jack Walorski, tremendous pressure to start taxing churches. The pastors and people of Indiana need to know there will be continuous attempts to tax churches and church ministries, including Christian schools, Bible colleges, and campgrounds, Representative Jackie Walorski. many elected officials at the local and state level believe it is acceptable to tax churches. She goes on to say, I'm grateful for the leadership of Eric Miller and Advance America, the State House, as they lead the effort to protect churches and their ministries from being taxed. Look at the, by the way, what would the tax bill be here? The tax bill will be based upon rates that are going to go into effect. The tax bill for Cross Point Baptist Church, prior to building the Family Life Center, where we're going to break ground April the 21st. Was that the date? Prior to the time that we build the Family Life Center, the tax bill on this property could be over $90,000 each and every year. Once the government starts taxing a church, it's going to be tough to get them to stop, because once they started having gambling, now they're addicted to gambling money. Now it's tough, as a matter of fact, to keep wanting to expand that. Once they start taxing the church, it will be tough to get them to stop. The thing to do is to stop them in their tracks from taxing churches. That's what we'll continue to do. Look at the next one, the bottom right-hand side. Men and women's restrooms. Last year when I was here, I warned you about this because a lady introduced it from the south side of Indianapolis, Representative Mary Ann Sullivan, brand new state representative, introduced a bill similar to what was passed in Colorado. In Colorado, according to Focus on the Family, here's what they say. Because out there in Colorado, they passed a law that gave government approval to what's called gender identity. What is gender identity? It's a man that gets up in the morning and says he's a woman and wants access to women's restrooms. You say, that couldn't happen. In Colorado, it's already happened. Colorado, a female intern at Focus on the Family encountered a man in a women's restroom in a local airport. A teen girl saw a man in a women's restroom at a Colorado Springs area Walmart. Two teenage girls discovered a man undressing in a women's locker room in a Denver area fitness facility, all legal in the state of Colorado. You say, Eric, that would never happen in Indiana, really. It was introduced last year. And then after I spoke here last year, I led the battle in Goshen. On the morning of September the 2nd at 1:30 in the morning, there was a vote that was taken. I was one of the last speakers to speak on an effort to stop a local ordinance in Goshen that would have done the same thing. That would have given men who dress as women equal rights and government recognition as if they were a woman, including access to every women's restroom and dressing room inside the city of Goshen. When they took the vote at 1:30 in the morning, the vote was 4-3. We won by one vote because we turned one vote. 4-3. Those three people that voted knew when they voted because we told them that if they voted for that ordinance, every girl, every mom, every grandma in the city of Goshen is at risk of having a man walk into the women's restroom or women's dressing room. Churches could face lawsuits if they had a worker come in, a man dressed in a dress, and they told him he could no longer have access to children. And a businessman could not fire a man who wore a dress to come to work, or they'd be sued as well. The vote was only 4-3, folks. There are people here in the state of Indiana and in our nation that don't have the same worldview as you do, who don't mind passing laws that will destroy this church, destroy the future for your children and your grandchildren. And somebody's got to stop it down there. Eric Miller and the staff of Advance America can't stop it. Eric Miller and the staff of Advance America and churches and you all over the state, we can stop things down there. Wouldn't that Bible verse say, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Men and women's restrooms will work to continue to stop that. Turn your sheet over real quickly. We'll touch on two more things on the sheet, and then we'll talk about what you can do to make a difference. Repealing property taxes. If you vote for the constitutional amendment to cap property taxes this year, then the most you'll pay on property taxes for your home is 1% of the assessed value. If your home is worth $100,000, then you pay $1,000. You say, hallelujah, Eric, that's all I ever pay. I didn't say that. It's capped at 1% right now. If they build a new city building, if they build a new school, your property taxes will go up. If they assess your property at a higher rate than what it was before, say your property is worth $100,000, taxes $1,000. If they assess it at $150,000, your tax just went to $1,500. They built a new school, it just went to $1,800. They built a new fire station, it just went to $2,000. It's going to go up again, folks. It's a step in the right direction, but it's not the end. The solution is to repeal property taxes so you can finally own your own home. You buy a home, pay off your property, and you pay off your mortgage, and you pay property tax for 30, 40, 50 years. then you can't pay your property tax until somebody dies, you have an illness, you have financial expenses. Guess what will happen? They'll take your home and they'll sell it. And that's not right. So we're going to continue to lead the effort to repeal property taxes. Family and Freedom Day is on the right-hand side. This is the day that you have an opportunity this Tuesday to come downstairs. Brother Jim Tyson is going to drive the bus. Coach Jeter is going to bring the juniors and seniors down there. And I hope that a whole lot of you can ride the bus and come down there. You'll pull up right in front of the building. You'll walk into our office building. You'll go up to the seventh floor. We'll talk about how a bill becomes a law, what's going on over there, some of the latest on these issues. And then we'll walk just one block to the State House. And then we'll hear from the Chief of Staff and Lieutenant Governor Becky Skillman. And then we're going to fan out to talk to your senator and your representative. You say, Eric, I'm not sure who they are. We'll help you with that. You say, I've never talked to my senator or representative. That's even better. Because when you walk up there, you say, you know what? I've never been to the State House like this. And I've never talked to my state representative or my state senator. But Eric tells me that you're my senator and that you're not voting right. You'll instantly ingratiate yourself to them. You'll see their face, countenance start to change. Folks, they're public servants. They need to be held accountable for what they're doing. If they don't like being held accountable, they need to leave office and let somebody serve down there that wants to be held accountable one way or the other. And so, please come and join us. And then the bus is going to pick you right up there outside the State House. Then I understand that Brother Jim is going to buy everybody lunch that day. So I hope that you all can come. Isn't that what you told me to say? So I hope that you all get to come and go with us down there. Now you say, Eric, I'm pro-life. I don't like the slaughter of unborn babies. Eric, I don't want our church taxed. Eric, I support marriage between one man and one woman. Eric, I don't want the government to come in and tell us who's going to teach Sunday school, who's going to teach in our Christian school, and how many kids we can have here. Eric, I'd like to repeal property taxes. Eric, I want America to go back to its days where it respected the Bible, where traditional values were upheld, and things were better in America because I want a better future for my children and my grandchildren. But what can I do? Four things. Four things everybody can do to make a difference in your government beginning tonight. Many of you have already been doing these things. Number one is to pray. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. How should you be praying for your elected officials? The Bible commands us to pray for them. Dear Lord, listen from the president on down. Please save them and their family. Help them to make biblically right decisions, Lord. And if they won't, remove them from office. Lord, raise up godly people to run. Help them to get elected to office, Lord. And you can be praying for you. And please pray for us down there too. Remember what I told you? We're outnumbered in terms of just sheer lobbyists. Maybe 100, 120, 140 to just Jim and I, or Jim and I and Dwayne when we go over there. So pray for us. Number two, vote biblical values. Don't vote Republican or Democrat. There are Democrats that stand wrong. There are Republicans that stand wrong on issues. But how do you know who to vote for? We put out voter guides. So when you go vote, vote biblical values. Number three, hold them accountable. When you get an email from us, take the 2 minutes and email somebody. I got an email from Brother Rick Cox. He emailed Senator Connie Lawson. First time he emailed her on the marriage amendment, she did a little soft shoe and didn't answer. He didn't settle for that. He emailed her again. Guess what? She came back and said, yes, she would. You know what else he did? He said, I got some other things I want to talk to you about. And listed all these other things. Pastor Irwin does the same thing when he contacts Representative Stirwald, Representative Hinkle. And many of you do the same thing. So hold them accountable for what they're doing. And the fourth thing that you can do is help us get the truth out. Vicki and I were at a church this morning. We're here at church tonight. I'll be at Pastor Tim Berlin's in Logansport next Sunday morning. But I can only get around maybe to 75 churches a year. Brother Jim gets around to maybe 25, 30 churches a year. And we can't get around all of them. So how do we get the truth out? Well, we put out mailings, do things on email. We go over there and read all the bills. Folks, there may be in any given year more than 1,000 bills. You can't be there. We are to read them. You can't follow the legislation. We are. You can't talk to the senators and representatives all the time. So that's what we're down there doing. People around the state need to know the truth like what you've heard tonight. So here's what you can do. Take that other sheet that you've got there. The Proud Hoosier Partnership. Let me wrap this up real quickly. The Proud Hoosier Partnership. Many of you have joined that already. Now I'm going to ask you tonight to renew. Next week, when you watch the Super Bowl and you've ordered a pizza, you will spend more for that large pizza than I'm asking you to give to advance America and the cause of freedom. We don't get any money from the government. And I'm grateful for the support and for the special contribution from Crosspoint here because it helps us do the job that nobody else is doing in the state of Indiana. It's only $8 a month for 12 months or an annual gift of $96. That's it. You'll get the book that I wrote, and we revised it from last year. If you joined last year, you got a blue one. This is a red one with revised information in it. And if you joined last year, you got the book, One Nation Under God, 10 Things Every Christian Should Know About the Founding of America. That's what you got last year. You got the blue book, and you got this. If you're renewing, or if you're joining for the first time, you'll get my revised book. And if you're renewing, you'll get the book, Lives of the Signers of the Declaration of Independence. But you know, folks, even if you didn't get a book, or didn't get my book, everybody ought to have my book. It's an outstanding book. It really is good. Even if you didn't get my book, even if you didn't get the book, One Nation Under God, or Lives of the Signers, folks, $8 is a small price to pay to help stop abortion, to help stop same-sex marriages, to help protect this church from being taxed, to help protect this church from being controlled with its ministries, and to get the truth to the people of the state of Indiana about what's going on in their government. So I trust Vicki and I'll be back at the table. You can see on this investment response card, you can do it by way of a debit card, a credit card, or a check. So please do that. If you didn't bring that tonight, then please go home and take care of it tonight. But please, and if you do it tonight, it saves us the postage of having to mail you the books. Number one, pray. Number two, vote biblical values. Number three, hold the elected officials accountable. Number four, join the proud Hoosier Partnership. Every family can do all four of those things. It doesn't cost a dime to pray. It's a little bit of time. It doesn't cost anything to vote. It's free to vote in America. It doesn't cost anything as well to be able to hold the elected officials accountable. A phone call or send an email. The only thing we're asking you to spend a little bit of money on is, over and above your tithe, is $8 a month for 12 months, or an annual gift of $96, and I hope every family joins tonight. It was Edmund Burke that said, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Let me tie this up with this. As Pastor said, I got saved through Eagledale Baptist Church in 1978. Had the privilege to start working on a bus ministry after a Ron Comfort revival meeting in 1979. Shortly thereafter, I met the Jones family, and the kids started coming to church, and now the kids have their own kids. As Pastor said, he and I were over there at their home and had the opportunity to lead seven of their grandkids to the Lord. In this battle for freedom, which is important, we need to never lose sight of the fact that we need the same intensity as soul winners for Jesus Christ. Yes, we need to fight for freedom. And yes, by the grace of God, we're going to keep on doing that. I need your help to do that. But we need to build this church, folks. We need to build this church, this lighthouse for Jesus Christ on this side of town that reaches around the world through its missions, that helps send out missionaries like the Yiders. We need to be doing that. And the same passion that you will have next Sunday, when it's tied 17-17 in the fourth quarter in Miami, and Peyton Manning falls back with 15 seconds to go, and Reggie Wayne runs one route, and Pierre Garçon runs another route, and you jump to your feet, screaming and yelling. You won't do that. You'll be very subdued, right? You jump to your feet. He's got to catch it. He's got to catch it. He's got to catch it because you want the Colts to win. The passion, the energy, the intensity of that moment, we need to have in our lives for Jesus Christ every moment of every day. For our children, for our families, for lost souls, for this church to be all that it ought to be, even more than it's ever been in the past. We need that passion. We need that intensity. We need that desire. All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Christian, we don't need to coast anymore. We need to reclaim our families, help our church be all that it ought to be, and we need to reclaim our government for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can do that. One plus God is a majority. Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died on a cross to pay our price to get into heaven. Suffered and bled and died for our sins. And Brother Yider, just as you talked about in Cameroon, in the bush country and up around there, they need missionaries. They need broken-hearted soul winners. But so do the people of Indianapolis. And so do the people of the state of Indiana and in our nation. And in this church, we can make a difference. Yes, in the government. Yes, in our families. Yes, in this church. But only if we'll carry with us the intensity, the passion, the desire to go out and do it. You know what needs to be done. We just need to go do it. We all just need to be what the Lord wants us to be. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for standing with us. And by the grace of God, we'll continue to be all that we ought to be in this battle for freedom. Let's bow our heads and pray.